Co. and Good Morning Santa Fe. Welcome to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. My name is Bill Hutchison, sitting in for Mary Charlotte Fridays this month. We're broadcasting live from the Santa Fe Baking Company and streaming on the web at ksfr.org. We're podcasting at the website santafe.radiocafe.org, where you can hear the show anytime thanks to Dotfoil Computer Services. And you can subscribe to the show for free on iTunes. Later in the program, Robert Knott from Pasa Tiempo will be with us speaking of the arts, and Laura Stewart, director of Site Santa Fe. Now I'd like to welcome Phil Mantioni, who's going to tell us about something amazing and potentially terrifying, Franken Circuit. How are you, Phil?
Hi, Bill. Pleasure to be here. I just want to say a few words about Franken Circuit. It's happening tomorrow night at Santa Fe Complex. It's a fundraiser for the complex, which is, this is our first year anniversary. And what Franken Circuit is a huge collaborative event involving about 20 artists, composers, musicians, technologists. And the whole thing stems around a sort of a Franken switch that will, when pulled by founder Steve Gurin, will activate 7 kinetic sound and light sculptures simultaneously.
Now, when you say Franken switch, you mean like a big, giant, toggly switch that we saw Gene Wilder flip with lightning and all
very,
these things happening
similar.
Around it.
Yes, exactly. So it's a dramatic event, but really it's there's some kind of deeper meanings behind the use of Frankenstein as a metaphor. I think the best thing to do is just to kind of describe who's in the show. And there's some seminal works in this show, one of which is Matrix 1 by Woody and Stanley Vasulka. This is a piece that hasn't been shown in this country for several years. It was a kind of a groundbreaking piece that became, using a technique known became known as the Vasulka effect. And so this is a great piece.
But and the Vasulkas are huge in the art world.
They're huge. They're internationally known. And, of course, they broke ground in video 30, 40 years ago before. But also, just let me read a list of the artists just real quickly. Martin Back, James Brody, Tristan Chambers, Turpid Emo, Walter Gordy, Corey Hughes, David McPherson, Simon Melihek, Zevin Poulsen, Frank Rolla, Stan and Woody Vasulka, Elise Stepanian, and Dr. Woohoo.
These are a lot of people who we've known both locally and internationally.
That's correct. These are mostly local artists. And there's also going to be live performances by Martin Beck, James Brody, Vince Kudlebeck, Flamingo Pink, and Ismail Rosinski. There'll be some music as well as spoken word. Excuse me.
And you have an excellent write-up in today's Pasa Tiempo by Craig Smith, I noticed, so folks can find out a little more info there. What number do they call, or how can folks get a little more information about what's going on?
Okay, the phone number is 216-7562. Or they can email info@sfcomplex.org, or just go to sfcomplex.org. You can buy tickets online or at the door. I recommend buying them online, though, because they are going, and we have limited space.
Now, tell me briefly what Santa Fe Complex is, so folks will know, besides Franken Circuit, which will obviously be fantastic, what it is they're supporting.
Okay, Santa Fe Complex, like I said, it's a year old. It's a place that encourages collaboration between science and art. There's a lot of educational programs, there's lectures, concerts, experimental video. In fact, the end of June, there's a series curated by Lisa Pining called Manipulated Image, which has been going on several months now. And the next one is June 26th or 28th, I'm not sure. It's the last Friday of the month. So,
and they can check the website for more
information. They can check the website, and it's usually in the calendar listings.
Excellent. Phil, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be right back with Laura Stewart, director of Site Santa Fe.
Thank you, Bill.
Welcome back to the Santa Fe Radio Cafe. This is Bill Hutchison filling in for Mary Charlotte Fridays this month. I'm back with Laura Stewart, director curator of Site Santa Fe. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am fine. How
we have
are you?
Steaming mugs of coffee, and we're going to talk about art at 8 o'clock in the morning. What could be better?
I think nothing. Nothing could be better than that.
Maybe talking about art at 10 o'clock in the morning with steaming cups of coffee.
Yes.
But I think we'll do okay.
Uh-huh.
So we have something fantastic coming up. We have several fantastic things coming up at site, not least of which is the big, amazing auction, but also some new installations that are happening. Let's talk a little bit about the auction first.
Well, the auction is a benefit auction for Site Santa Fe. We don't do auctions that frequently. In fact, the last time we did an auction was 4 years ago. And the way we do auctions is we beg, plead, cajole, invite artists who have shown at site to give us stuff. Amazing stuff that we can sell.
I was looking through the catalog a little earlier, and when you, the people you are begging and pleading with and cajoling are kind of fantastic people. Tell us about some of the pieces we're going to see. I was stunned. I was absolutely stunned going through this catalog.
It's big stuff. It's big stuff. Well, you know what? We're really lucky because artists love Site Santa Fe, and they love doing shows there, and they recognize that it's a little budget, and we raise it all personally every year. And a lot of artists who have had, you know, their one-person show at site or been included in an important show, it's been meaningful for them in terms of the rest of their career and how it moves them forward and allows them to sell more work and make more money. So this is our the sort of karmic exchange. But right there on the cover of the Site Santa Fe catalog is a work by Jenny Holzer. It's a marble footstool, and it has engraved on it, "Protect me from what I want," which is this truism that of Jenny's series of truisms, the series of texts that she wrote, declarative texts. And they first appeared in the, I guess, late 70s, early 80s on very cheap materials, just Xerox copies that she glued all over subway stations. And then they came in bumper stickers, they came in T-shirts, they came in coffee mugs, they came in many forms. The ones that come in marble are super rare. And so this is a very special object that she's given to us. The retail value of it is about $75,000. So we're hoping to get close to that number on the night. So that's a pretty extraordinary piece. Another one that I'm fond of is a new painting from Dana Schutz. And many of you saw Dana's one-person show at Site Santa Fe a couple years back. It was her first one-person show in America, and her career subsequently just blew up in the most alarming way, and she became a great big famous person, but she's still just plain old Dana. So,
and she's very young.
She is very young. She's younger than me, ergo she's very young.
Yes, even younger than me, and I'm pretty young.
That's the rule. So she's probably 30 or something like that, 30-ish. And yeah, she made this painting especially for us at site and was delighted to do it. So it's the thing to keep in mind about an object like this painting or even Jenny's footstool is, let's say you wanted to walk into her gallery in New York City and buy this painting. The fact is there's a waiting list of people signed up who wait for years to get paintings by Dana. And then, you know, assuming you get to the head of that line, then the dealer says, well, is it going to a good home? Do you plan to eventually give your collection to a museum? What, you know, is it going to be near other great things? Will it show properly? So it's not quite like buying a pair of shoes or something.
It's not quite like buying at all. It's almost like adoption.
It's almost like adoption. You get kind of checked out. So, but at Site Santa Fe, we just assume anybody that shows up with money must be a wonderful person.
Absolutely.
And we will be delighted to sell this painting called The Note to you. It's a sort of a black figure, black heavily impostoed figure in the foreground, leaning his head on his hand, wearing glasses, and writing a bright yellow note. And then behind him is this squirrely, squiggly field of blue that has a very Matisse-like look. And I should say that all the works in our auction are up on our website right now. We have an auction website. If you go to Site's regular website, sitesantafe.org, you can click through to the auction website and see all the pictures and all the objects.
And I will say, radio listeners, having looked through these pictures myself and being unlikely to purchase any of them at the auction myself, although I would certainly encourage you to, they're worth a look. They're fantastic. They're kind of stunning pieces.
They're pretty great.
One of the things that has long interested me about Site is its metamorphic capability, that the space is so transient isn't exactly the right word, but it is hard to get one's bearings from one installation to the next. Mm-hmm. How is that for you, working in there, developing the space for these different installations, having, say, one show with multiple artists, multiple shows with multiple artists, the various forms that the building takes? I'm very used to moving through a space that is static and not quite so dynamic as, say, the site is.
Yeah, well, you know, at Site Santa Fe, what we do is temporary exhibitions, special exhibitions. We're not like a normal museum in that we don't own a collection of artworks that we need to keep on display at all times. We just develop exhibitions. We show them. We often commission new works, inviting artists to make new works that are specially made for that space. We show the show. We close the show, move the art out, and change the walls around. So.
And that's a massive undertaking. I mean, I think we go in there and we see this beautiful, fantastic, composed thing. But really, I suspect before that, there are forklifts and lots of people and ladders and paintbrushes and what must seem like massive chaos.
Well, you know, when I left Site Santa Fe last night at 11:30, my crew was still there running cables, and they're perfectionists. My crew is just, they're an amazing bunch of people, Tyler, Dave, and Dave, and they are ferocious perfectionists. And they take a lot of pride in things being surprising and extraordinary. And, you know, the thing, what they do, they always make it look so perfect and so much as though that's the way, obviously, it's supposed to be. And somewhat effortless. They make it look effortless.
Yeah.
And we all know that in order to look effortless, you put a lot of effort to make things look effortless. And that's what they do. But... yeah, it depends on what works we're showing. Some need smaller spaces, some need larger spaces, some need white walls, some need different kinds of walls, some darkness, some light, some sound, some video, some sculpture. So we love it because we're these, you know, we invite these artists into our midst to hang out with us and make stuff. And it's just a real pleasure to spend a couple months inside the brain of an artist. A really great artist and see the world the way that they see it for a little while. It beats multiple personality disorder, I'd say.
Yes, by a long shot.
By a long shot.
And much less medication.
Much less. No, that's true. Less medication.
Possibly. Depending on the artist, perhaps.
Yeah.
One of the things I suspect you're thinking about and maybe even being asked about a lot, you know, whenever I visit a city, one of the first things I like to do is go see the contemporary art museums because It's amazing the things that will blow your imagination, that will stretch the size of your brain when you didn't think it could be stretched anymore. But certainly it's been impossible not to think about, over the last 6 to 12 months, with the economic situation being it is, does art become more necessary or more of a luxury? At any other moment, I would say contemporary art is a must. But there's certainly, in these moments where people are losing their jobs and their homes, where does the relevance of site to society, to a museum like site to society, what happens to that? How does that change?
Well, it's the fundamentals of why we do what we do don't change. I mean, it's much cheaper than space travel coming to Site Santa Fe. And as you say, if you're looking for a way...
I think you're going to have to put that on your...
As your tagline.
That's
spectacular. We considered free wine tasting today, but... Clean public bathrooms, that was another tagline we considered.
I think all of these are kind of spectacular.
Temporary art and clean public bathrooms.
That's right. Now, cheaper than space travel.
That's right. So, yeah, I mean, for me, I'll tell you the reason I'm in it is just as you say, that it is in art and with artists that you're most likely to stretch your brain and see the world in a way that you never thought you could before. And... you know, I always say that the goal, you know, our real mission for our visitors is they should come to site, enjoy it, see what's there, try it on, ponder it. But if they leave Site Santa Fe and the world looks slightly differently after they leave, that's really when the accomplishment lies. And so when we're in these troubled times, in these difficult economic times, and there are nothing but heavy muffins all around us, an ability to see beyond and through and to imagine something different. I mean, imagining something different is the first step towards making something different.
It's like a chance to live momentarily in an imaginary world that you can somehow actually drag into the real world behind you when you come out of a contemporary art space.
Yeah, you know, I think, what was it, Hamlet, who said there's nothing good and bad in all the world, but thinking makes it so. So, you know, this gives you a chance to try on a new way of thinking about all kinds of things, and hopefully then you'll have more tools in your toolkit of your imagination's toolkit, so that you can approach the world in a more engaged way. You know, you can become more the author of your own experience of the world, and not so much just you know, passing through it.
Yes, and Site makes itself very available to the Santa Fe community. Certainly as a student with my student membership, it's delightful to have access to incredible work for very little outlay on my part.
We try that. And the thing, too, that we try to do is we know that the art that we show at Site is sometimes difficult, it's sometimes challenging. Sometimes people say it's elite, and in fact, it is elite. It is the best in the world. But we do our damnedest to be super welcoming and friendly and talk in plain language about what it is we do. There's a Einstein quote I love that if you really understand something, you can explain it to your grandma. And so we try to do that. We present things that are hard to understand sometimes, but we work really hard to make them as comprehensible as we can, and to make people feel like they showed up at the right party, that they're welcome there, that this is for them, that this, you know, this work is for our neighbors in Santa Fe. That's who we're working for.
Does a more adventurous museum like Site create a more adventurous viewer?
I hope so. You know, I hope so. A more, it's sort of like brain yoga. It just makes you more stretchy and
I
better balance.
I think you have another one there. It's sort of like brain yoga.
Brain yoga and cheaper than space travel. But at any rate, you know, I think it gives an audience member a chance to get comfortable with things that are a little tough, and then maybe they'll try thinking about things. And, you know, at Site also we have a program called Visual Thinking Strategies. We have these site guides on the floor. We don't have guards and then docent tours. The typical museum, you've got your guards, who you're not supposed to talk to, and then you have your docents
who almost seem like installation pieces, both of them. One seems like a performance piece, and one almost seems like living sculpture.
Exactly.
But it always seems so out of whack in a museum situation.
Yeah, and so to have a tour guide, as you do at most at a typical museum, who just, you know, tells you what the work is, not really interested in that. So our site guides, instead, are more inclined to ask the 1,500 students that we serve and just people who walk in the door, what do you think of that picture? And then, you know, the viewer needs to say, wow, I don't know, it looks kind of pink. Wow, what makes you, what else do you see? Well, maybe it's a pink doll, you know. And then as you bit, by having a conversation, make the meaning yourself through, you know, the viewer comes in and makes their own meaning by looking closely and just trying it out, you know. It's one of those things that you can really try something new and a little risky for your brain, and there's no such thing as failure at it, and all it can do is, you know, stretch your brain a little bit in a pleasurable way.
There's definitely this leap between looking and thinking, and I think that's such an interesting question to go from looking at a piece of art. I mean, we're trained from youth, thanks to the way our media works, to be passive absorbers of information. And certainly in the typical museum where the docent tells you, here's what this piece is and here's the artist's statement behind it, and that's essentially giving you the subtitles to your own thinking, and it seems a little unfair. But this whole idea of what do you think about this piece, it must be a very surprising question. I think even for young viewers, or maybe especially for young viewers, that I get to think something. I get to think this is funny even though it seems very terrifying, or I get to think it's silly, even though the artist clearly has lent it some very personal gravitas.
Yeah, exactly. The goal really is to make people authors of their own imaginative experience. You know, that people are unique, that they should be having unique and personal, intuitive responses to these objects. They're meant to be springboards for the thinking of the viewer. I mean, that's why we put the stuff in the rooms. It's not just for, you know, for kicks. And it should be pleasurable in most cases. But more than that, it's meant to leave you with this experience that's kind of ongoing as you leave the museum.
How has the rail yard development changed Site or changed its patronage? Have you noticed any difference all of a sudden from being in a lovely location, but you're really now central to this magnificent piece of Santa Fe that's, after a jillion years of debate, sprung up and is kind of gorgeous?
Yeah, we're very happy about it. And, you know, we played a kind of a big role in it because We had been down there in the rail yard when it was just this derelict switching yard overrun with prairie dogs and a fair number of homeless people. And now we bought the building. We were leasing the building from the city, and we bought the building in 2003. And sort of up to that point, the board had considered moving to another location, moving even to Museum Hill, or moving down Siler Road, or different things. And so they finally said, you know what, we're staying. And when we bought the building, that was the thing that really pulled the trigger on the development all around us. I think probably the TPL and the city and the Rail Yard Corp realized finally they had a stable tenant that would be, keep the graffiti down and pick up trash around our building and have people coming in all the time at night and at day. And that was the thing that was the sort of stabilizing influence that allowed a lot of those other developments to happen. Certainly all the galleries that are down there now have wonderful gallery neighbors now, as well as, of course, Warehouse 21 and the Museo and all the great stuff that's down there. So it feels wonderful to, walk to lunch in a nice place and the beautiful park, to go sit outside in the park. And so, yeah, we're the art museum in the park. We're like the Metropolitan Museum of Art in New York City, basically.
Does it ever feel like you work in a little bit of a wonderland? I was looking over the information on this Swedish artist who's coming.
Clara
Kostolova. And some of the information on her pieces. I can't imagine, I love going into my home and seeing the art that I have up on my walls, and it's pieces that I'm so fond of and that I have such an intimate visual relationship with. But they stay there. They stay there because they're the ones I picked and they're the ones I put on that wall. And I don't change my home as a contemporary art space. But for you, your home, where you're clearly spending hundreds of hours every month, it's constantly changing, and it's got to feel sort of... And maybe I'm over-romanticizing it, but it's got to feel kind of magical to constantly have this incredible flow of emotional and visual and creative stimulation around you all the time.
I'm a total junkie for that kind of thing. For me personally, I'm the curator of most of those shows. So I'm the curator of the Clara show and the Ruben Ochoa show, which opens this weekend, and Brent Green show, which opens this weekend. So
about which there's a very nice write-up in PASA today.
Oh, is there? Good.
Yes.
I hadn't seen it yet. It's early. But the wonderful thing for an artist like Clara is, here's someone I saw one work, I think, at, some fair, probably the Frieze Fair in London a few years back, and then I saw another one, and I just thought, wow, what the hell is that? What is that? Strange.
That's one of my favorite responses to a piece of art. Then that's how I know I love it, because I'm going to be thinking about it.
Yeah, I mean, the ones that you look at and it takes you about 2 seconds to figure out what they're up to, those don't interest me. The ones that interest me are the ones that I don't understand, that I have an intuition after however many years I've been doing this, that they're well-made things, well-wrought things, that there's, an intellectual rigor, a creative rigor in the making of the thing. They're not a big disordered mess, but I can't figure out what it is. That's something new to me. And so to spend a few years looking at the work, writing about the work, talking with the artist, and in talking about the work, hopefully get somewhere to some new kind of understanding, not only of the work, but of the world and how she sees the world. So she sees the world I don't know anybody else sees the world quite like that. And so, in the case of Ruben Ochoa, I'm glad that the article is out today. Last weekend...
It's Brent's article out today.
Oh, good. Okay. So Ruben has an article coming, too. Ruben has done a really weird thing to our building. Really weird. And I know it's the right thing and a good thing and an interesting thing and something that hadn't been done before. What he meant by that, I really couldn't tell you. So last weekend I said, Ruben, that's it, we're going for a walk, which is something I like to do. Get a picnic, and we head, up to Borrego Trail or Dale Ball Trail and just walk and talk and figure it out. And so by the end of that walk, I knew so much more about where he was coming from and how that work came to be, conceptually. So that is, for me, that's the fun part. That's the part of my job that I treasure, and that's the part of my job that I would wish to make available to people, you know.
That's the part of your job that makes me wish that I had your job. I don't want to hear about any of the dreadful parts because I just want to envy
not
you
the,
getting
not the
to
the constant begging for money.
No, I'm overly familiar with that, but I just want to imagine
writing
that
government grants.
I just want to pretend all you do is get to walk around and talk to artists.
Oh, aren't you sweet?
Just grant me that.
I pretend that myself sometimes.
It's good to have an imagination.
To sleep.
Yeah, at 11:30 after you've gotten home from a long day at site.
Yeah.
My guest this morning has been director curator Laura Stewart of Site Santa Fe. Tell us again when the auction is.
The auction, everybody come to the auction. It's going to be a barn burner. It's not this weekend, next weekend, the 19th and 20th of June. There are tickets available for the preview and the actual auction. There are tickets for $300 and then for $500. Yes, that's a lot of money. I'm trying to raise a quarter of my operating budget on that weekend, so help me out, yo. And then we have these wonderful works of art. There are 70 amazing, truly amazing things. Ed Ruscha, Bruce Naum, and Jenny Holzer, Dana Schutz, Fred Tomaselli. I mean, all the players have come through for us. We expect these works to go for well under retail, and the retail prices that have been set are what we call new economy retail. So these are not the prices that they would have had a year ago. There are tremendous values for really mind-blowing things to be had. So come on down.
Very
check our
exciting
website.
SiteSantaFe.org.
SiteSantaFe.org and see the auction website.
Laura, thank you so much for being with us. We'll
My
be
pleasure.
Back in a moment with Robert Knott. We'll see you soon.
Okay, thank you.
Speaking of the arts, I'm Bill Hutchison sitting in for Mary Charlotte Fridays this month. With me, as always, your friend and mine, Robert Knott.
Oh, that's a nice way to put that.
That's how I've been saying it all week. I thought of that one night before we were about to go on.
What are you talking about? I tuned in 2 days ago and it was Mary Charlotte talking. Was that a pre-taped show?
I must have been. I mean, no, she's doing it live from Bali. Are we allowed to lie on public radio?
Well, aren't you doing it every day?
No, I'm just doing it on Fridays. It's just you and I on Fridays.
Oh, no wonder.
Don't admit that you're not listening to KSFR 24/7. It makes me unhappy.
Yikes. My apologies.
That's what I'm saying. What's going on in Santa Fe this weekend?
There's the Thirsty Ear Festival, Paso Tiempo cover story, Samantha Crane and the Midnight Shivers are among the guests. Take a look at our coverage.
Great photograph on the cover. Samantha Crane, the lead singer of this group, just a great, uncomfortable picture.
Well, that's a good way to put it. Yeah, you're right. They look like either we've accused them of something or they're accusing us of it. And Bella Fleck is among the guests as the Eves Movie Ranch starts today for the weekend. There's all sorts of financial deals in terms of getting in. So take a look at our coverage, which starts on page 26 of the Paso Tiempo. It's good stuff. Exciting music weekend. I haven't paid attention to the weather, so I'm not sure what the prognosis is, but hopefully it's not going to rain.
I think it's Cross Your Fingers weekend.
Okay, good. It's the second, it's the continuation of the Sculpture, Objects, and Functional Art Fair, a.k.a. SOFA, at the Santa Fe Community Convention Center on Marcy Street. More than 30 dealers, including a good number of New Mexicans, are taking part in SOFA West. It runs from noon to 6 today, Saturday, Sunday. You can see art. You can see artists working, demonstrations. You can take in lectures. You can enjoy a Santa Fe opera-related event. On Saturday night, and there's gallery walk sponsored by the Santa Fe Gallery Association. Best thing to do is check out sofaexpo.com or, here comes a phone number, 1-800-563-7632. I'm just recovering from 2 days of a bad cold. Actually, it took me out of work yesterday and part of Wednesday, so that's why my voice is a bit.
The nice thing about radio is that you cannot see the mounting mountain of Kleenexes that Robert is accumulating on the table here with us.
I hate it because then when I try to do like impersonations and stuff, it doesn't work. I was hoping you and I could sing Don't Fence Me In today. We may have to put that off.
I even brought the lyrics, but it'll give me another week
to practice. Yeah, let's do it next week. Next week, we will sing Don't Fence Me In together.
Yeah. Stay tuned.
Anyway.
And you have an excellent article this week in Paso Tiempo with David Sedaris, who's just hands down one of my favorite contemporary essayists.
I'm glad you said essayist and not humorist, although he is very funny because he speaks of real things that are kind of sad.
He does. Sometimes they're just heart-wrenching.
I know.
He's my favorite road trip companion. And, boy, you start laughing, And then just as soon after, you've got your own mounting mountain of Kleenexes because you're a little weepy.
You do, and he talks about that. It was a really terrific interview because I didn't just want it to try to be funny for me or him, and it worked out really well. He was incredibly gracious, and he did something that in the 10 years this time around that I've worked for Pasta Tampa, and I worked for them before for 3 years in the early 90s, this never happened. After the interview ran, he was in a hotel in New York. Apparently, he got my address somehow, and he sent me a postcard that day that arrived 3 days later, before this article ran, just saying how much he enjoyed the interview and asking me a couple questions, and really classy. I mean, he's a writer, so yeah. I understand. So it was great, and guess what? He's at Collected Works, the new Collected Works.
Very exciting, and check out the new space.
202 Galisteo Street. He's there 6 o'clock Thursday night. I'm going to swing by, say hi, get a book signed.
And I'm just going out on a limb. It's David Sedaris. Get there a little early, otherwise you're going to be outside peering in, I suspect, wishing that you could see him.
That's
Everybody
a good
wants
idea.
To come and see him.
Yeah, it's a great new improved store. I went down there this week to return the book that they loaned me because I didn't have the copy of this one, believe it or not. And I do return books when people give them to me. And it's a great – and Dorothy Macy showed me around the store. And they're having a soft opening tonight, which they haven't publicized, but they said I could mention it. So I think you can go by tonight. I hope I get the time right at 6 o'clock. I think they're going to have some light music, light entertainment. Go check out the store.
Give them a call at 988-4226.
That's better because I think she may have told me 4 o'clock, but music starts at 6.
Dorothy's right now writing you a postcard that's not as nice as David Sedaris.
Yikes. No, she wouldn't do that. She's a nice lady.
She's a dear.
So anyway, David Sedaris, please go if you like his work, and I do. Pretty good stuff. Also, check out the book page. We have a little thing about an event happening at Garcia Street Books, which is an interesting book called Ask Me About My Divorce. I wrote up a little blurb about that in today's PASA. 2 p.m. Saturday, June 13th, Garcia Street Books, some of the participants, Mary Charlotte being one of them, although she will not be there because she's out of the country, will be on hand Saturday at 2 o'clock for this collection of essays. I got to admit, it's you should pick it up and read it if you've gone through or going to go through this event.
At another of our fantastic independent Santa Fe bookstores.
Also a couple of book reviews in there today by Mary Austin in the American West, which is Susan Goodman and Carl Dawson's book, and Gringolandia. And also I did a fun little book about Bigfoot, Anatomy of a Beast, Obsession, Myth, and the Trail of Bigfoot. And it's well worth reading that book. It's terrific, whether you believe or don't believe. It's a great little...
I think when you don't believe, it's even more fascinating, because there are people who do heartily believe in Bigfoot and other cryptozoological creatures. And that, to me, is much more fascinating than the idea that they're alive, that we want so desperately
that's
to
want
them
there. That's
what
this book is about. That's what's amazing about this book, that we want that Bigfoot to be out there.
We need that mystery. We need not to know everything.
Why do you think I spend Thursday nights watching these Discovery Channel programs, and then I come on here and she gives me grief? She's like, last night so-and-so was at the Lenzer speaking articulately about the powers of eradication or something.
And you say, yes, that may be so, but there was a special on the Yeti, and I can tell you not a lot about it.
You're absolutely right. Between that and those live cop shows where they're chasing the guys at 80 miles an hour, you ever watch those?
I'm always afraid I'm going to see my little brother on there.
I know, and I like
not
that
not on the side of the badge.
Oh, no. I always like that show with Danny Bonaducci, too, where the stupid criminals. Have you watched that?
Never seen it.
Oh, they get these people that used to be celebrities, like what's her name, Tanya Harding, and Danny Bonaducci, and the kid from Todd Bridges, and they comment on these stupid caught on video criminals, and they're hilarious.
This is the kind of stuff that makes me realize we need places like our first guest, Site Santa Fe, to get us out of that sometimes. But boy, there's sometimes trash is just exactly what you want.
It is what you want. I grew up with trash, so why would I not like it? That didn't sound good. Zane Bennett Contemporary Art has Holly Roberts, Anomalous Tales, and Mark de Suvero, Sculpture, Drawings, Prints. Also Denise Yagmorian, Yaghmourian. Outside the box, interesting pieces. Doug Fairfield wrote a piece on this in today's Pasta Tiempo, so take a look. There's about 40 gallery openings. You can check out the Pasta Tiempo calendar to see exactly what's going on. Pam Beach is our calendar editor. She used to be the receptionist in New Mexico, by the way, so she's the one you should contact. Page 68, there's like 40 gallery openings. So
going to keep you busy this weekend.
It will.
Our KSFR's own Lauren Camp has an open studio on June 14th, which, speaking of my little brother, that's his birthday. Happy birthday, little brother. If you are interested in checking out the magnificent and spectacular Lauren Camp, and see her studio space from 2 to 5 on Sunday the 14th, give her a call at 474-7943. That's on 25 Teresa Lane if you're a Google mapper.
Pretty good. Happy birthday to your brother.
He says thanks.
Remind me how many brothers you have, six?
Just one.
I thought it seems like six.
Just one now. Took a long time to take care of the other five.
Yikes. Heidi Lowen, Porcelain Gallery, has a gala reception for SOFA, 5 to 8 tonight. Also 9 to noon Sunday. Lots of parking, so she says, 315 Johnson Street near the O'Keefe Museum.
That tells you something about Santa Fe, when a draw for your opening. I mean, Heidi Lowen, looking at this lovely postcard, which our radio listeners cannot see, it's a beautiful piece, but it tells you something about our town when a draw is lots of parking.
I know. Taste of Los Alamos, you know anything about it?
Very little.
It's an international soup food festival up the hill. 2 to 5 Saturday, Fuller Lodge, you got to pay to get in. If you're 5 or under, it's free. There's going to be sample foods by local international community members, music from around the world. Experience the beauty of various ethnic art and traditional dance. So, interesting. Interested in getting tickets? Call 470-1675. It is a fundraising event for the Los Alamos Relay for Life in conjunction with UNM LA ESL Department.
So you had me at international food.
And then the open house, the open studio over at Santa Fe Art Institute, still hanging out there on the College of Santa Fe campus, 5:30 Thursday. They're going to have a number of artists, including a playwright, Tim Braun, Joy Davis, painter, David Groff, poet, performance arts, filmmaker, sculptor. They're going to have, like, I think 10 artists for their open studio tours, and that's Thursday at 5:30. Refreshments will be served. It's free. SFAI is on the backside of the College of Santa Fe campus.
We went to the Laurie Anderson benefit on Monday for Santa Fe Art Institute and saw our dear friend Diane Karp and learned, you know, talked a little more about their uncertain future being on the College of Santa Fe campus. And I just have to say, after these years in Santa Fe Art Institute is really one of our premier organizations. They do just incredible and lovely work. Go out and see them just in case, God forbid, they don't get to stay there.
Pretty good. I don't always like to plug commercial events, but if they're tied into art, I'll go for it. So Goler, G-O-L-E-R, down
Goler.
There. Goler, thanks.
You bet.
On Palace. They're having an event that benefits fine arts for children and teens, and that's always been a great organization run by Julia Bergen, executive director, but with an incredible staff of paid and unpaid volunteers. Fine arts for children and teens helps create art opportunities, art programs, art making workshops for young people, which I think is great, as you know. Anyway, they're teaming up with, how do you pronounce this shoe store?
Goler.
Yeah.
Rhymes with go there.
11 to 4, Saturday. They're announcing Style Your Soul, S-O-L-E. Benefits fine arts for children and teens. And
cute. Do you get it? It's like your foot, your soul.
Yeah.
Do you get it?
I guess they're hoping that you'll buy a pair of shoes and then some of the money goes to FACT. So, not always big on these sort of things, but if it's helping an arts organization, I'll go for it. Which reminds me, New Mexico School for the Arts is providing summer master classes in Santa Fe with world-renowned performing and visual arts teachers.
Oh, that's cool.
It is cool. Neither you or I are on that list, by the way.
No, nope, not anywhere near it. In fact, I think we were on the list that said, do not allow in building.
Correct. June 20th, I'm giving you a week's notice, 1 to 4 o'clock at the NDI Dance Barns. This includes visual art, dancing, music, Joel fan in that situation, theater with Richard Kind, improv for theater. The master class fee is not expensive. It's not bad. Interested, call Annika Graham at 467-7852 or Google New Mexico School for the Arts and find out more information. It looks like a really exciting program, and any young people that want to take master classes should do this. Again, it's 1 to 4 next Saturday.
I remember when I was a kid in high school and went to these writing intensives in the summer, and it totally changed my life. When you're a creatively minded person and you're a kid and somebody says, look, this is totally valid, and not only is it valid, I want to encourage you and teach you how to be fantastic and disciplined and work really hard. What a moment that is. What a transformative moment.
I still remember some of my teachers in my early grades. I was going to be a visual artist, and I still have some of the pieces I drew back then. I thought I was going to be a cartoonist or something. And I used to draw things all the time, and I was encouraged by a lot of my teachers, and I was really happy with that. Until I drew a piece when I was 8 years old about two women taking a bath together. And my older sister said, show me this. And I showed it to her, and then she told my parents, and I got yelled at, and then everybody was furious with me that I was doing this sort of thing. So
it's weird how easy it is to be discouraged in those moments.
I know. What is it about that? And my older sister, I never forgave her for that.
And then you just sort of became a verbal cartoonist of sorts.
That's a good way. You just made me feel better. Thank you.
I'm glad. That's what I'm here for.
All right, read Craig Smith's interesting piece on the Franken Circuit.
That looks fantastic.
It does
look
fantastic.
I was glad to have them on this morning.
Santa Fe Complex, 632 Agua Fria Street, 7 to 11 Saturday night. Got to pay to get in, 216-7652.
We've got a lot of good art in this town, but sometimes we get things that are really weird, and I think it behooves us to go see those weird things at least as often, if not more, as we go see the easy art.
That's a good way to put it. Go check it out. It's going to be live music, spoken word, visual art. Check out Craig Smith's very good piece, page 48 of the Paso Tiempo. It looks like a fun Saturday night. Movies, the new version of The Taking of Pelham 123 opens today. I'm going to go see it to review it. I saw the old one last night on DVD while I was home recovering.
I just watched that the other day. We watched it through Netflix in anticipation of not wanting to see this remake. I thought I'd revisit the old one.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see if they come even close, if they try to do something totally new, if they stay true to the original. I checked their running times. They're both very similar running times, so hopefully they haven't overplayed it. Jim Jarmusch's new film's here, The Limits of Control. It's not getting much.
That
it's getting
fascinating.
Weird press.
All I've seen is the trailer.
I know.
It completely intrigued me.
It's getting really offbeat reviews. It's sneaking into the Regal de Vargas. We didn't get any notice on it. I'll probably go try to catch it this week.
It's often a good sign when people don't know what to make of a movie.
CCA is showing Steve McQueen, not the old movie actor who died, co-writer, director, his interesting look at the 1981 hunger strike by IRA member Bobby Sands in the movie Hunger. Our reviewer, Bob Benziger, thinks it's pretty darn good. He gave it 3.5 chilies. It's at CCA, 1050 Old Santa Fe Trail. You could also go see Tyson at Regal de Vargas. Jonathan Richards thought that was pretty darn good. James Toback's documentary about Mike Tyson. There's a number of good movies. A nice little documentary called The Money Fix I really liked. Playing at the Santa Fe Film Festival with Jean Cocteau today and Saturday with filmmaker Alan Rosenblatt on hand.
Since the economy kind of freaked out and crashed, I've been fascinated with economics and I want to see this because you realize if you think about it too much, which is very easy and very dangerous to do, that it's completely imaginary. That this whole idea, this whole trauma is based on something that isn't really a real thing.
It isn't real at all. You should see. I'm glad you brought that up because we talked about this last week. You should go see the movie. It's at the Jean Cocteau. Check out the Paso Tiempo movie listings to see exactly what we're talking about. Also, we got some wonderful letters to the editor about our review of The Flying Star. Have you eaten there yet?
No, I've eaten at the one in Albuquerque, but not here.
When I go to eat places and I say nice things about them on the radio, they don't give me anything, and I don't want them to give me anything. It really makes me uncomfortable. I say it because I really like going there. So I still have breakfast a couple of times a week at Tia Sofia's because I love going there, and they don't give me anything, and they better not. But if I go somewhere and I don't like it, I'll say so. And I know The Flying Star's been around a long time, and they're new to Santa Fe, but it was an incredibly mediocre meal. And our reviewer gave it a mediocre rating, so we've taken a few reviews, letters about it. But also one reader wrote in saying thanks for the review. I've eaten in the one in Albuquerque near downtown. It's not bad, but maybe they'll get their stuff together.
Let's hope they get it up to speed. It's never easy to open in a new town.
I guess not. Santa Fe Opera Backstage Tours. Want to see what an aria is like from the inside? Costume shop, prop shop, production areas, 9 o'clock every morning. It ain't too expensive to get in. 6 to 17 years old, free. 986-5900. Tonight, 8 o'clock, Playhouse. I hope to be there unless this heavy cold brings me down again. I may go home early today. Reading of Ron Bluberg's new play, Defamation of Character. Q&A follows.
Have you seen the script yet?
Ron's a witty writer. I have not. Also, James Koskinas' one-person show, Even If Mountains Burn. Set in South Vietnam, 8 o'clock, Rally Yard Performance Center. I got one phone call from someone who saw it, who said it was really incredible. So that's a one-person show at the Rally Yard, runs through the weekend. Red Thread's bringing back their original play, The Fire and the Rose. It's actually a compilation of poetry and prose, but it's a piece they did when the company opened. They're doing it as a staged reading at El Museo Cultural de Santa Fe, 8 o'clock tonight. And 455-1200. And Moving People Dance has a mixed repertoire, 8 o'clock tonight at the Lenzic. We have a little mixed media on that today's Paso Tiempo. So quite a few theater events through the weekend, as well as Sofa and Thirsty Ear. Hey, what time is it?
It's 8:52. No, it's 8:53. Let's take a moment for what I like to call speaking of the ARFs. I just made that up last night. It's a big adoption event. Believe it or not, I'm not hustling the shelter this time, although we will be there. The Companion Animal Alliance of Northern New Mexico You will appreciate this, Robert. The event is called Get Your Licks on Route 66. It's a Route 66 cross-country adoption tour. Should be very cool. This Sunday, June 14th, 11 to 4, in the San Ysidro Plaza. For those of you don't know, that's next to Lowe's. All of the, bunch of the members of the Companion Animal Alliance will be there with the animals who need homes this weekend.
I'm all for that. Nonetheless, I'm going to be mad at one of my dogs. You know my two dogs.
I do. I know them well.
Rio and Jemmy.
Yes.
Jemmy's a sweetheart. She smiles. Have you ever seen a dog smile like
Jemmy? Wonderful.
She's got like a smile, like a really friendly.
But she's the only one who smiles like she does. She
right.
has a winning smile.
She's been barking at the moon even when there's no moon, like every 45 minutes at night. She's driving me nuts. Smiling, wagging her rear end. She's been sleepy outside now. She wants to go outside and sleep.
What do you think that's about?
Well, there could be stuff happening in my life that I don't want to go into right here, but nothing to do with doggy abuse. I don't know what it's got to do with. But she's driving me nuts, and so I've got these knockout pills I give her. So I start thinking to myself, what if I'm having trouble sleeping? What if I took a dog knockout pill? Now, before I tell you the rest of my story, what would happen if I took one?
All I can say is that I'm not a veterinarian, and I cannot endorse taking veterinary drugs for people. However, off the record, let me turn off the mic here. Oh, yeah, take as many as you want. Just see what happens. Okay, let me turn the mic back
on. Like dog food, it doesn't taste good, but nonetheless. Hold on, I'm going to cough. Thanks. Jemmy's a sweetheart, and I love her, but she's been just wanting to sleep outside, barking at nothing. And I can tell the neighbor's upset because the lights go on. So then, you know, what do? You start screaming. What are you doing? Stop yelling. Meanwhile, Rio, who's the great watchdog, he's like, what are you doing, sis? There's nothing out there. I know what's going on. Just get back to bed here. Would you stop clowning? He's like the young guy that's like, I'll take care of everything. He's like the big bulldog in those old
You
Warner
don't
Brother.
Even have to worry about it.
It's like the Warner Brother dogs that has like the
yeah.
turtleneck and the
and little
music
other
plays.
One that's sort of leaping over him back and forth.
And then the kitty cat gets on him and he purrs when he does his, he's kneading the puppy dog's
making
back.
Biscuits.
Yeah, that's like Rio. Anyway, my dogs are beautiful, and I adopted them both through the shelter, and I encourage people to do whatever they need to do to help doggies here and kitties here. What time is it?
You got to keep talking. It's 8:55.
Well, I'm trying to talk, but there's still... Oh, the Swami Beyondananda. He's coming back to town, 7 o'clock on the 13th at the National Education Association office on Boot 12th Road, 699-0023.
This exhibition that's happening at the Palace of the Governors, New Mexico History Museum. I tend to go in for contemporary art more, but these old photographs of Santa Fe and New Mexico, they're kind of amazing. You see these landmarks, these places that you've been a million times if you grew up here, but 100 or 125 years removed, and it's something special. Go see this. There's a photograph in the Plaza this week, Corpus Christi procession around 1888. But go check out this exhibition, Through the Lens, Creating Santa Fe. It's on 120 Lincoln Avenue. Of course, all kinds of amazing things to look at if you are a fan of our humble mountain town.
And if you're looking at the Paso Tiempo, we have a new one-page special visual arts section called Exhibitionism.
I like this. It's like the short attention span page.
Right. And now we have four or five images from galleries that are opening new events. It takes the place at ongoing at the galleries, so pay attention to that, visual arts galleries. If you have a show that's opening, get some art into the Paso Tiempo, and our visual arts writer, Doug Fairfield, will work with our editors and hopefully tell people what's happening every week. And I love the title, too, Exhibitionism.
It's very nice.
Except I don't like dreams where I wake up in my underwear with no clothes on. What's that about?
Oh, Lord. It's about terrifying vulnerability. I have a few of those dreams from time to time. I don't like them.
And you're never like a beautiful woman or somebody you want to be with nude.
No. I'm always me, but slightly worse. And I don't have all that good a self-image to begin with.
I know.
It never feels
particularly
good.
And you're like,
good.
It's a ridiculous situation. How do I get in this with no clothes on?
Because I make very, very sure that's not a situation I find myself in the waking world.
I know. How do you think I feel?
Terrifying.
It's crazy. Saturday, we've got the Handsome Furs playing F Corazon on Guadalupe Street.
I've never heard the Handsome Furs, but I like the band name.
Me too.
I can be persuaded to go see a band based solely on the name.
It's at 9 o'clock. There's a lot of stuff happening out of town. You can go on down to Madrid if you like and see the Johnson's and Madrid Gallery Celebration of the Earth group show.
Coming up on June 25th on Thursday. I know that's a week away, but people should put it on their calendars. Ant The Gay Comedian Hits the Stage, says Pasatiempo, 7:30. That'll be at the New Mexico Museum of Art. You can get info, as always, 988-1234.
This time flies. What's the story about? I guess if we take 5 minutes talking about trash TV, we go a lot quicker.
Yeah, it's a lot easier.
All right, so next week's my last week doing this with you for a while. I'm going to take vacation.
Which means we definitely have to sing.
And we'll sing Don't Fence Me In. And I'm hoping I'll make it through the day. Maybe I'll only do a half day today, so.
Cross my fingers for you.
Read Pasatiempo.
We'll see you next week.
Thanks.
Thank you.